Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest independent publications in the entire United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this episode, we talk to the good people behind the Consider Our Knowledge podcast, as well as the Hello Sweetie podcast, and we hear some music from the Lazy Waves and DJ Robo Rob. We are very happy to welcome some of the folks behind the Consider Our Knowledge podcast and website into the studio. I'm just going to have all of you guys kind of introduce yourselves. For people who don't know, Consider Our Knowledge consists of stories and conversations recorded in sort of an NPR parody format. Highly recommend everyone go check that out. It is considerourknowledge.com. First, let's meet the gang that is here. Emily, tell us a little about yourself.
Goodness gracious. I have been helping Connor with the podcast for, we've been doing about a year.
Yeah, I think so.
So mainly vocal talents, but every once in a while I'll add in a sketch or two if I'm so inclined.
Very nice, very nice. Hobart Willis.
Hi, Hobart. I do a couple of voice talents as well for the show. You know, pitched a couple of ideas here and there. That's mostly it.
All right. And Connor, you've been there since the beginning.
Yeah, well, so this was kind of my brainchild, and I've been fortunate enough to have Emily and Hobart and our other friends, Natalie and Jeremiah and my wife, Marianne, and a few other people kind of come in and contribute to the show. And I write most of the material, but I shouldn't say all of it because we all contribute with different ideas. And I think that's the biggest thing, too, is the ideas are the hard part.
Yeah.
And then the writing is easy once you have a good idea. But it's been great, and we have a lot of fun. And I generate most of the content for the website as well. And so it was kind of my brainchild, and they've just been really generous with their time and helping me put it out there, because that's the thing. I did the first two or three episodes, and I tried to do all the voices, and it did not work very well.
If you kind of tough to differentiate yourself from yourself.
Because I can do voices pretty well, but when it's just me, it's definitely very conspicuous, you know? So
it's fun to listen to those ones.
Those first like three or four. So I was like, I need some help. So I pulled these guys in, and it's been great to have them, because they really do. They come in and just do a great job.
Now, you mentioned before we started recording this bad boy that you had done an internship up at KUER, so you've worked in public radio yourself. Was that the inspiration, or was that just one sliver of, you know, what kind of drove you to start this thing?
Yeah, I think that's what it was, just because I love public radio, and I think, you know, a lot of people listen to public radio, and it's one of those things that I feel is really ripe for parody, because, you know, some of the voices and people that you hear on there are so a certain way, you know, I mean, that
you can't make that up.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Terry Gross, can't make that up.
Yeah, I know.
Or Ira Glass and some of those people, mm-hmm. and so they're so ripe for parody, and you've seen little NPR parodies here and there.
Sure.
And I just think that it was something that needed to be done, because you've got The Onion, you've got The Daily Show, but there's not really an audio version of that sort of news parody satire thing going on. And so I figured, you know, we'll do that, make it sort of sound like NPR, and I think it's a good niche, hopefully, that we found, and hopefully we continue to get people to listen to the show.
How often do you do the podcast? Is it a regularly scheduled thing? Do you react to events on the ground? I know the website, you can post up like a news story pretty fast based on a real event or something. But
and that's kind of what we do. I try to put something up every day on the website, and then we record actually Monday nights, every Monday. And I usually write stuff like Saturday and Sunday. So we record Monday. The podcast goes out on Wednesday. So you can't be as up to the minute with the writing, since I'm writing on the weekend and the podcast doesn't come out till Wednesday. But we try to be as topical as possible. And we used to record two episodes every other week.
Oh, okay.
And so it was hard to write that second episode because it could never be topical at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sometimes they were a little slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't quite have the immediacy from the news, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And And so okay. We switched it up to every week, and I think it's made it better and stronger. And then, yeah, I try to post something, a news story, just to kind of fill in the gaps, because, you know, we all have other jobs and things, and it's hard to do more than what we already do, you know?
So. Well, and that's what I was going to ask is, you know, you all mentioned doing different voice work as part of the podcast and things like that. I mean, are you, or would you consider yourselves, like, are you actors? Are you more, you know, writer, you know, comedy writers? Are you just radio geeks who really want to just have some fun with the form?
I don't
what do
know.
You think?
None of the above, even.
just some dude who shows up on Monday nights.
Found him on
the
street.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, so Connor had a podcast before this, and I'd listened to it, and it was funny, and I, you know, I wanted to be part of that, but, you know, finally got a chance to be part of this one, and I just do it for fun. I'm not a radio guy. I'm a geophysicist. I work for the state. I don't even.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
And then I did a lot of theater in high school and have been trying to pursue creative writing in that.
You're sort of theatrical.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I'm a theater.
You're
geek.
Dramatic.
So in between having a 9-to-5 job, okay. I feel like.
Are you a geophysicist as well?
I wish I could claim that I was. I think my dad would be thrilled if I said so. Being a geologist. No, I work at a school and a library. So it's definitely, I find that the podcast is a nice outlet for the theatrical things that I really want to get up to. Exactly.
All right, how about you, Connor? What's your day job like these days?
Well, yeah, I mean, I work for the Symphony and the Opera, so, you know, this is, yeah, it's all sort of a hobby kind of, I mean, I think for me, at least, it's more than a hobby for me, yeah. But I think for all of us, it's a good outlet for some creativity. You know, I think I can speak for mm-hmm. you guys and the other people on the show that, you know, it's fun for us. We get together, we laugh a lot when we record, you know, and we have our characters kind of that we have down, and it's fun. I think it's a good way because we're all friends. I mean, we're all in the same group of friends and we hang out a lot mm-hmm. other than the podcast, but okay. I think it is. It's good. We get together every week. We do it. It's really fun, but I would love to see it become more of a thing and get picked up by a podcast network or something. You know, I think it would be really great.
Yeah, and it seems like, I mean, from the parts that I've read and listened to, I mean, you tackle nationwide news or international news even, right? Missing jets and whatnot. I mean, was that a conscious decision to not limit yourself just to kind of Utah news of the weird kind of thing, or which we have plenty of, obviously, in real life? But
yeah, I think there's a lot of podcasts out there that are doing Utah-based stuff. I mean, this podcast, the I Am Salt Lake podcast, that is a really solid podcast. I didn't want to limit myself in that way just because if there is a chance for it to be have a wider audience, I don't want it to be too focused on Utah and Salt Lake. And also, frankly, it's not always easy to just find stuff to make funny. And so sometimes you have to cast a wide net to find something that you can really lampoon or satirize. And I think for me, just knowing that we've got to come up with material, I think giving yourself the biggest amount of material possible is really what you want.
Right. Yeah. Emily and Hobart, you guys, do you just put absolute trust in what Connor might write? Or is it more of a collaborative thing where maybe either you find something either over some personal line or not funny even? You go, I don't get it. What are we doing with this? Anything like that?
Oh, we definitely tinker. Absolutely. I mean, and he'll ask for our input as well, where it's like, you know, I think this joke, this is what I came up with, but let's spitball it and see what else we can come up with. That's happened a number of times.
Yeah. And you guys are great at the embroidering too, because I'll have the script kind of written, except for when Emily's written the most sketches other than me. But I'll usually have the script written and they haven't seen it until they get there on Monday. Which is kind of a dick move on my part. Like, I should probably give it to them a little bit beforehand, but we read through it a few times, you know, and if a joke's not working or, you know,
somebody has a better spin
and that,
or something.
Yeah, and that happens a lot. And sometimes I write them really mean kind of tongue twisters unknowingly and they've got to
try and muscle through it. But to Connor's credit, he does like 80% of the legwork, and that's really admirable. I certainly don't have the kind of
It's a lot of work.
I don't have the interest in sitting down and writing all this out. So I'm really glad that I can be a part of it. And even though I'm just the lazy voice actor,
so lazy.
But I and to their credit too, I mean, everybody who's on the show, you know, Emily and Hobart and Natalie and Jeremiah and Marianne and Libby, everybody who's on it, I'm constantly amazed when I give them a part, they just are able to do it too. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, do a British accent or do, right. you know, do a Boston accent. And they're able to do it, which I think is really great. Because, you know, like you said, none of us are professional actors. So I've really lucked out in the fact that they're willing to do it and that they are able to do it. So
nice. Do you, when you listen back to the early episodes to where you are now, I mean, is it just obvious how much you've developed in terms of the, I guess, the voice work and just sort of the teamwork of things? Is it a lot smoother now than it was at the beginning, or is it always going to lock in pretty fast?
I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, I would say that I think we've definitely improved. I think we've gotten stronger, but I think it also depends on the material. Some weeks you've got something right. really good and it's hilarious, and some weeks it's like,
at least we're consistent some weeks. That's about the only mark we can hit on occasion. Honestly, it's like some of our episodes, I was really part of that. But it's out there, and it was
fun. That's right,
and
it was fun.
Yeah, they're all fun.
Yeah. Nice. Well, do you have any grandiose plans coming up, or do you, you know, in terms of like kind of actively trying to push it out there to more people who don't know beyond appearing on our podcast,
right.
of course?
But, well, this is phase one.
Yeah.
This was it.
We can all just echo towards each other's podcasts.
Yeah. I think we're trying to do more things to get it out there. I think one of the things I'd like to do, and we've discussed it sort of in a very cursory way, but I think something I'd like to do is to do maybe a live show with it somehow. Yes. I don't know how that would work necessarily, but, you know, I've been doing a little stand-up lately sort of with jokes similar to a news format. Kind of that's the shtick of the stand-up. But I'd like to incorporate the whole team because it would make it a little richer and a little more interesting, I think.
Nice. That's great.
So,
well, thank you guys all for coming in. I really appreciate you taking the time to come in live and in person and let us know. And like we mentioned, considerourknowledge.com. That's easy for everyone to remember. I highly recommend. And new episodes go up on Wednesdays.
Yep, every Wednesday. And you can we're on iTunes and Stitcher. And you Twitter. Can follow us on Twitter.
Right.
And
that's right.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
All right, thanks so much.
Thanks.
The Lazy Waves are a three-piece alternative band based out of Salt Lake City and comprised of Michael Gross, who you might know from Michael Gross and the Statuettes, as well as Daniel Fisher and Matt Glass. Glass lives out of state, so the band produces much of its music over the web, sending clips back and forth and through brief visits together. They released their debut self-titled album back in November of 2010 and have followed it up with various singles and EPs over the years. Most recently, the band released their third EP called Wave Table back in February of 2014. Here's a song from that EP called Tonight, Get on the Streets.
We can't just predict. There isn't enough. We make up futures. It doesn't matter whether we really think they'll come to pass or not.
I've waited.
that of crossing the hilltop to see what's in the next valley. Mankind has been exploring the earth for thousands of years. There are some things that men were not meant to know.
Download the new EP as well as the band's entire catalog. Visit them at thelazywaves.bandcamp.com. And for more info on the group, check them out at facebook.com/thelazywaves. And the band played on is Plan B Theater's celebration of the First Amendment, returning to the Rose Wagner on May 3rd. Featuring Carrie, Bill, and Gina from X96, Salt Lake County Mayor Ben McAdams, Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker, Salt Lake City Councilman Stan Penfold, actor Ann Decker, Utah State Senator Jim DeBacchus, and Utah State Representatives Joel Briscoe, Rebecca Chavez-Hauck, Jennifer Seelig, and Carol Speckman-Moss reading from banned children's books. Tickets and info at planbtheater.org. This is your weekly daily calendar for the week beginning Tuesday, April 22nd, and running through April 28th. There is all kinds of great stuff going on this spring in Salt Lake City and beyond. I encourage you to go to slugmag.com and check out that calendar all the time. There's always great new listings going on there. When I look at this one, the first show that jumps out, Tuesday, April 22nd, Churches at the Depot, Scottish electronic pop synth band. You'll be feeling like you're back in the 80s in no time if you hit that show at the Depot. Should be a big one. Wednesday, April 23rd. Fortunate Youth bringing a little reggae to the Lo-Fi Cafe, while one of my favorite cheesy 80s metal bands, Faster Pussycat, playing at the Royal down in the middle of the valley. That should be fun on Wednesday, April 23rd as well. April 24th, Thursday, hip-hop show at the Urban Lounge featuring Mobb Deep. That should draw out a lot of people. Those guys have not been around in a while. That should be a great show. On Friday, April 25th, a great local showcase with Giraffula, the North Valley, and Palace of Buddies all playing together at Urban Lounge. All of them worthy of headlining on their own. Should be a great show with them all together. Saturday, April 26th, Atlanta indie rock band Manchester Orchestra at In the Venue. Saw them at a big-ass festival last summer. They did great with a large crowd. They should be just fine in a club like that. That same night, the Fetish Ball is going on at Area 51, and a great garage rock show is over at The Garage, featuring the Bell Furies and Mad Max and the Wild Ones. Earth Jam 2014 is on Saturday, April 26th as well, and extends into Sunday. Lots of kind of hippy-dippy jam bands. Should be a good time, though, especially if the weather's good. Always great to go hang out at Liberty. Sunday, April 27th, Hipster Mecca is the Bourbon House as the Mustache and Beard Competition takes over. That should be a good time. As well as the regular Geek Show Movie Night at Broovies, another great Sunday night option. On Monday, April 28th, it's the Salt City Slam at Weller Bookworks in Trolley Square. And the Glitch Mob brings a little electronic music to the complex on that night as well. As always, I recommend you go to slugmag.com, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, check out those listings. There's always great new stuff being added. And you can put your own content on there for free. And for a mere $5 a month, you can add some quality links to your own events. That's your weekly daily calendar. DJ Robo Rob is a producer and DJ based out of Salt Lake City who got his start in music back in Tampa, Florida back in 2007. He's gone on to create all kinds of electronica music, including 8-bit, EDM, dubstep, house music, all kinds of stuff for both listening at home and rocking it at the club. Since he started, he's released 8 full-length albums. 8! That's a lot. And a plethora of EPs that are too numerous to name. His most recent EP is called Terra Solaris Part 2, and it was released in November of 2013. We're going to play a song from an older record. This is 8-bit Trance Dance from the 2011 album called Press A to Start. ¶¶ Download this album as well as his entire catalog. Check him out at djroborob.bandcamp.com. And for more information on the DJ, visit him online at facebook.com/djroborob. The Hello Sweetie podcast is a geek-centric show hosted by four nerdy women in Salt Lake City. And when we say nerdy, we mean that with affection. The show originally started back in September 2011 with the crew recording a new episode every other week. And they soon gained new panelists and got some momentum going and started recording a weekly podcast. They received a Best of Utah award from City Weekly in 2013. Slug's office coordinator and our very own podcast producer, Gavin Sheehan, sat down with three of the Sweeties, Sherry Vasquez, Crystal Starr, and Slug writer Rebecca Frost, to talk about the show's run and local geekdom.
What's the response been like from the geek community, where we have a side geek show, which is the most prominent, mm-hmm. we have just this influx of 20 plus geek-related shows. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the response been from that audience locally?
The biggest one that I've noticed is we hear from a lot of females, and especially a lot of young females, mm-hmm. which I don't think was the crowd that we were aiming for.
Yeah.
But it's a good crowd to have.
Yeah, it's absolutely. An excellent crowd to have, because they don't have a girl geek show out there.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's a different perspective. It's kind of been the good old boys club for how many years now, you
it's
know?
Still it's still a boys club.
Yeah, it's a boys club. It's definitely a boys club, and we're the girls in the boys club.
And I think, too, that it speaks to them, because our show speaks to young women, because they are in that awkward stage where they're like, oh, nobody thinks what I like is cool, but then they see us, who are, you know, grown women
in our
with
awkward
families
stage as grown-ups.
And schools and careers and stuff like that, and we're still,
in
you know,
our awkward stages, yeah,
and we're still into the same stuff. It kind of says, like, you don't have to give up the things that you think are cool when you quote-unquote grow up, you know?
Did you have a feeling like that's where the show might end up going, like being this representation of the woman geek?
I didn't think that it was going to go that young.
Yeah, it's gone really young.
Like, not to say that we're a kids show by any means. We're an explicit rated podcast, and if your children listen to our show, like, be aware that we are definitely not PG.
Yeah, no, there's an explicit rating for a reason. But, I mean, we've had parents say, oh, they hear worse at school and that. I mean, just be aware what your kids are listening to, because we get emails from, like, Grace. Yeah. She's a big fan. Shout out to Grace.
Yeah, she's our 14-year-old listener that emails us all the time.
But I'm like, that's exciting to me to think that girls think that's cool and that they're listening. So
yeah, I definitely think that the original, I mean, we have a very wide demographic. I mean, we've got probably 50% male listeners and 50% female listeners. I mean, it's a little bit skewed probably towards female, but not by much, like maybe 1%. And we get people of all ages, you know, commenting on our Facebook page and sending us emails and stopping us and saying, oh, hey, I listen to your show. And I definitely think that we had planned on having women geeks be our target demographic because we want to make a show by girl geeks for girl geeks. But I'm super stoked that we are getting them in young.
What's the response been like from fellow podcasters, like seeing your show grow and seeing the impact that you're having?
I think my most memorable like re-encounter of meeting a podcast, we were in line at a movie and this guy was upset because we were so popular so quickly, and he's been doing it with his friend. I think it's we offer something different. Mm-hmm. And you can look at it that way, or you can, like this guy, be offended. Like, what? How come you guys got so popular so quick?
Yeah. I think the response has been generally positive from other members of the community. I mean, my opinion on podcasts has always been that it's a very unique medium because it's not like TV where you have to compete with somebody for a time slot. You know, you can listen whenever you want. So because of that, you can have a very large crossover audience. And, you know, we consider other podcasters colleagues, not competition. And it affords us a good opportunity to sort of refer people to other shows. Like, we always like to reference Full of Sith podcast, which is our friends Brian Young and the Mike Pilot from Obviously Oblivious. They have a Star Wars podcast, and we don't talk about Star Wars to near the degree that they do. So we kind of, you know, say, hey, well, this is some news. If you want more information on this, you know, you can check out these guys. So it's nice to have other outlets to kind of point people to if they're looking for more.
Yeah, I definitely think that we are growing, and I think that some of the bigger podcasts may not recognize us as much as we recognize them. You know, there are listeners who I see post on Twitter, oh, listening to Geek Show and Full of Sith and Hello Sweetie today, and I'm like, oh, awesome, if only the Geek Show fans would happen to see this and also notice that we are a thing too. Like I said, I think we're still growing. Mm-hmm. And
I'm excited for the next year. Like, we've been talking, there's gonna be new stuff because we are growing.
Since we're all geeks in the room, let's broach this topic. It was a few years ago that nothing fucking happened in Salt Lake City, let alone Utah. Mm-hmm. And within the past year, the three major comic book stores are thriving. We've really taken off in D&D and role-playing.
Oh, for sure.
And then we have like 5 big fucking conferences a year now at this point.
More than, well, it's big ones, yeah, but
giving
more than
me anxiety.
Yeah. So how is it being geeks who love this stuff, watching our little burg expand to the point where we don't know what to do with ourselves?
Well, isn't it just exciting that there's so many more people you can have conversations with that are like, oh my gosh, and the interest in it now. Before it was like, you started talking about it and you lost people, mm-hmm. you know, or they got upset, or they were like, what are you talking about, nerd?
And there's definitely people I can talk to now and they're like, ugh, what are you talking about?
I'm
like, no, there's no, still I will people. Go 2 people down.
Yeah.
Go talk to these
people. There's still people out there that don't know what CG is.
Right. And I think it's great too, like, if you think about, like, one thing that we try to do with Hello Sweetie is we try to give kind of a wide appeal. I mean, we definitely talk about, like, the super, like, nerdy, like, science-y and video games and stuff like that, but we, you know, talk about movies and TV and stuff that's, you know, that we nerd out about that's very accessible. And I like seeing the conventions kind of doing that same thing because there's a purpose to it. It brings people in, you know? So, like, FanX, for example, in April, they are doing, you know, comic book writers and artists and, you know, but they're also doing TV stars and movie stars and cosplayers and people from, like, WWE wrestling and stuff like that. Like, it's all about, like, let's get as many people here as we can to give them something they enjoy, but also it's like a supermarket of other cool shit that or stuff that you might be into.
Like, if you like this TV show, you might like this role-playing game.
Yeah.
Or this comic book. Or mm-hmm. this, you know.
Or so, I came because I wanted to see my favorite wrestler, but I never thought that I would, you know, I stumbled into a panel for cosplay and I never really knew how interesting it was. Or, you know, just, I think that that's a really exciting aspect of what we're seeing with the large cons. I mean, I love the little focused conventions. I love Anime Bonsai. It's still my favorite convention because it's for anime fans. But I love the fact that the larger conventions have stuff for everybody because it gets people interested in new things that they maybe didn't even know existed.
Well, I'm excited to see all the new cosplayers. I think the people that came to Comic-Con and saw what a huge thing it was are like, oh my gosh, it's another Halloween. I think we're going to see a lot more people in costume this time.
That's true.
So I'm excited for that.
We're coming up on Free Comic Book Day in a few weeks. What are you most looking forward to and what do you have planned for the event?
We always celebrate Free Comic Book Day with our wonderful sponsor, Haster Games and Comics. So we'll be doing a recording there as per our usual we've done it the last couple years. And yeah, it's always fun to go down and talk to people, and a lot of people dress up, so it's fun to see.
If you were
that.
One of the three people that came for our POG event, bring your paws down.
Oh my gosh.
Last year.
Some things don't always stick.
No, but it was still fun, and it was great. And we'll be there hanging out. We'll play games or something.
Yeah, I can never make the recording because I work right next to a comic book store, so I kind of have to help wrangle the madness.
Right. And you're like, get out of our store.
But it's fun to watch because, like, last year I'm stuck working, so I look out the window at other people having fun because it's an event. Like, it used to be, oh, you just walk in,
yeah,
grab a free comics and leave. Oh no, it's an event now.
Yes.
And so I'm sitting from the window watching, and all the customers come in. I'm like, those are my people. I could be out having fun right now.
For more information about the show and its history, check out the February 2013 issue of Slug Magazine at slugmag.com. And to listen to the show, visit them at hellosweetiepodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Slug Sound Waves. And for all things Slug Magazine, be sure to visit us online at slugmag.com. We have Free Comic Book Day coming up at the first Saturday in May. We want to hear what book you're most looking forward to coming out and picking up for free, or any events you plan on attending. Send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com, or hit us up on Twitter @SlugSoundWaves, or on Facebook at facebook.com/SlugSoundWaves. We just might play your suggestion on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. Main logo and art design is by Nicholas Dowd, and technical design is by Kate Colgan. Be sure to tune us in next week. We'll be talking to the people behind the ARR CFO, as well as the Swipe for Humanity.